Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Was macht mich von Sünden rein, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Wo macht für mich Heilung sein, nur im Blut des Lammes Jesus. O köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Was erlöst mich von der Schuld, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was schenkt mir des Vaters Huld, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. O köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was versehnet mich mit Gott, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was errettet aus der Not, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. O köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus.
Over the years, I have been warning religious people not to try to gain entrance into the kingdom of God through their vain efforts, because the Bible teaches us very clearly that our righteousness are as filthy rags. We, as a human person without a Savior, are an unclean thing. We are desperately wicked. Many religious people throughout their lifetimes try vainly to somehow attain perfection through their religious efforts. We have to understand that a person has to be perfect to enter into the kingdom of God. And the only perfection a human being can receive for the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of God, has to be given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There are countless scriptures describing the spiritual death of a human being. Regardless where you're born or what you're doing or how you're trying, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God through your own efforts. You have to be given that passport, and that passport only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Many religious people spend their lives, they waste their lives away trying somehow to attain the kingdom of God, and in the end they will have to stand naked and ashamed before the God that created them. Today I will teach on a person in the Word of God who was very pleasing to God. The Lord God even sent an angel to tell him how pleasing his efforts were in the sight of God. But still that wasn't enough. There was something he had to do to attain eternal life. So before we get into this message today, we will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for your blessing. I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of this message. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace of God that is still available to us. We ask you, O God, that you will bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been teaching on the depravity of man, and I have been teaching on man's inability to enter into the kingdom of God through his own efforts. When one asks himself, what is God's greatest gift to mankind? We can clearly understand it is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But how does one attain that eternal life? We know that religious people have been trying to solve that problem throughout their life by religious acts and keeping laws. In Acts chapter 10, there is a person called Cornelius who was so pleasing to God that God even sent an angel to tell him how pleasing he was to God. It goes like this in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Here is an angel coming to a guy by the name of Cornelius, who wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman citizen. He was a soldier. He was a captain in the Roman army. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, God has seen what you're doing and is very, very pleased with you. Now that is something that a person needs to think about. For God to send somebody to you to tell you that he is very pleasing, that he is very pleased with you. But God did not only send that angel to tell Cornelius how good he was, how pleasing he was. God wanted that centurion, that captain, he wanted Cornelius to enter into the kingdom of God. Just to be a good citizen and a pleasing person to God is not good enough. You have to enter into the kingdom of God. So God made sure he sent an angel and said, God is well pleased with you. But there's something you got to do, Cornelius. In verse 5 it tells us, and now sent men to Joppa and called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what thou oughtest to do. So the angel gives him very specific instruction. He tells Cornelius to send for Simon, who was Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is living with Simon the Tanner by the seaside. So God made sure that there was no mistake. He wanted Cornelius to understand that he needed to hear on how to enter into the kingdom of God. And the angel gave Cornelius very clear instructions to make sure that he heard the salvation message. And this is why I very often and very clearly proclaim the word of God has been written to us. There are no mistakes in it. When it comes to salvation, it is very clear and easy to understand. Nobody will have any excuse. God has done all he can to get you into the kingdom of God. He will not violate your will. It is up to you to seek out that great and awesome pearl that God wants to give to you. So Cornelius, he sends for Simon Peter. And it took about 3 or 4 days, and Simon Peter came to Cornelius' house. We have to understand that the Jewish people did not associate with the Gentiles. It was against the law. But God had instructed him. He needs to go and speak to that person. And in verse 38 of Acts chapter 10, it goes on to tell us this. Now God, Simon Peter is talking to Cornelius. Cornelius has gathered his whole household. And when Simon Peter came, he explained the whole situation. So in verse 38, he tells us, now God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and we, and then Peter says, we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God has raised up the third day and showed him openly, so there was no excuse. God raised him from the dead, and he walked amongst the people. It tells us, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So Simon Peter is telling Cornelius the whole story on what happened and how he was a witness. And then it goes on in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. So it's Jesus who is ordained to be the judge of the living dead. To him give all the prophets witness. So Peter is telling Cornelius, The Old Testament, all the prophets were talking about this great Messiah, this great Savior that was to come. So he tells him, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Oh, how incredible clear this is. It wasn't good enough that Cornelius lived a godly life. He lived so godly that the Lord God even sent a congratulations by an angel. Now, how many people have been congratulated by God for living a godly life? But that wasn't good enough. He said, now Cornelius, you will have to send for Simon Peter, and he will tell you how to enter into the kingdom of God. And what if Cornelius would have said, I live a good enough godly life. Why, even God congratulates me on it. Why should I need something else? If Cornelius would have done that, he would be in hell's fire right now. But he didn't. He listened to the angel, and he sent for Simon Peter, who came and explained to him the way of salvation. And the Bible clearly teaches us that he accepted that way of salvation. He and all his household received that awesome grace that God offered to them. Oh, what a beautiful ending to an incredible story. God was able to save that godly person because that godly person was obedient in turning to the Lord by listening to that angel, taking the instruction and doing what the angel told him. How many religious people are out there vainly trying to attain the kingdom of God? In their pride, they go on day by day thinking that somehow they're pleasing God. But take time out. Study Acts chapter 10. And you will know in your own heart that you cannot compare yourself to Cornelius as far as godly living is concerned. Why? Because God has never congratulated you. So why should you somehow get into the kingdom of God if Cornelius would have missed it? Now turn to the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. There is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. He was given to us to bear our sin. He took your sin and my sin upon himself so that we can enter into that awesome, incredible resting place that he has prepared for us. The Bible teaches us very clearly that Jesus became us that we might become him. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the only way we can ever enter into the kingdom of God is when we will be as righteous as God himself. And that righteousness only comes when the blood of Christ covers us. Like in the days of Moses, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Bible teaches us very clearly that God sent a warning. He sent a message. They needed to kill a lamb. And then they took the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorposts of their houses. And whoever was in that house when the death angel came through did not die. And we know the rest of the story. The Egyptians' firstborn, even down to their pets and to their cattle, all died. But for those Jewish people who had the blood on the doorposts of their houses, not one of them died. And this is exactly how it will be come judgment day. Those who have the blood of Jesus on their hearts will receive eternal life. The rest will have to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire. The Bible teaches us very clearly that one day the wicked will be no more, but the righteous shall inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord will open your heart to this incredible truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Lebeweis nicht warum Gottes Gnade mir je war offenbar, noch warum ich erlöset bin, der ich ein Sünder war. Doch ich weiß an den ich glaube und seiner Hand kann mir nichts entreißen. Mein Erbteil wird mir wahren auf den Tag, da erscheint. den Tag, da er erscheint. Ich weiß nicht, wie der Heilige Geist mich in der Liebe zeigt, wie Jesu mehr in mir verklärt und alle Not verscheint. Doch ich weiß an, wer denn ich glaube, und seinen Hand kann mir nichts entreißen. Mein Erbteil wird er mir wahren, auf den Tag, da er erscheint. Ich weiß nicht, wie viel Freude und Leid der Herr mir zugedacht, wie er mich führt durch Licht und Nacht, bis einst mein Lauf vollbracht. Doch ich weiß an, wer wenn ich glaube, und seine Hand kann mich nichts entreißen. Mein Erbteil wird er mir wahren, auf den Tag, da er erscheint. Ich weiß nicht, wann der Herr erscheint, weiß weder Tag noch Stund, ob durch den Tod er rufen wird, ob durch der Engel Mund. Da ich weiß an, wer den ich glaube, und seine Hand kann mir nichts entreißen. Mein Erbteil wird er mir wahren, auf den Tag, da er erscheint.
Over the years, I have asked myself the question, what is the greatest grace of God and the greatest mercy of God? I have come to the conclusion that to understand the judgment that is awaiting for those who reject God and the ability to understand and know how to escape that judgment must be the greatest mercy and grace that God can give to a human being. Yes, we once were perfect in the eyes of God in our physical condition. Then Adam, when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, was rejected. He died spiritually. And since then, all the human race has been doomed to be separated from God throughout eternity. The Bible teaches us that man is an unclean thing. He is constantly evil and he's desperately wicked. So now God provides a way for us to change all these things. And how did he do it? He sent his only begotten Son to give himself for us so that we may be set free. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we have to totally agree with the fact that the greatest mercy and grace of God is to be able to enter into the kingdom of God by escaping the eternal lake of fire. And that is done through accepting Jesus as your Savior. But what will happen to those who reject God? In Psalm chapter 37, the scripture teaches us about the two different situations of the believer and the unbeliever. In verse 34, it tells us, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So here is a promise. Those who love the Lord shall inherit the land. The wicked shall be cut off. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 22, there's another scripture. It tells us, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So here are two human beings, both born of the bloodline of Adam. One is cut off, one is going to inherit the land. we can see that God has given to each and every one the ability to make the choice where he wants to spend his eternity. Yes, all human beings will exist throughout eternity. They will never cease to exist. They will somewhere be alive. But where will that place be? We all understand and know where those places are. One is called the eternal lake of fire, and one is called the kingdom of heaven. The Bible teaches us in Psalm chapter 37 in verse 28, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." So we will be preserved. Those who love the Lord will be preserved forever. And those that reject the Lord will be cut off and will have to be separated from God throughout eternity. Not too long ago, a person asked me, "Do you believe in once saved, always saved?" And I told him, "I know for a fact that I am preserved forever. I know for a fact that I am a purchased possession. I know for a fact that I am born again by the Spirit of God. I know for a fact that I'm seated in heavenly places. So for me, yes, I'm once saved, always saved. I do not know if I can say this about you, but I know in my heart that I know that I know where I am going to spend my eternity." Yes, the Lord wants us to have that assurance. He tells his disciples, the greatest cause for rejoicing is to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Hebrews chapter 4, there is an interesting scripture found in verse 9. It tells us there is a rest for the people of God. So enter into that rest so that you will not fall into unbelief. And I would ask all of those who are listening, seek the Lord, seek that revelation so that you can rejoice in your eternal standing with God. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.